Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday, everybody. He's Adam Hairhawk. I'm Sean Cantwell.
Glad to be
here with you, Adam. It has been a very beautiful day and really week so far, man.
This is my favorite time of the year. You people who like summer, all the power to you. Here's all the deodorant and I'll take care of all that moisture.
Please use it. Yes. Please, for the love of God, use it.
You winter people, all three of you, you're crazy. This is my season, August 1st to November 1st. I love it because it's, you know, you maybe get warm in the afternoon, a little chilly in the evening for have a fire in the backyard, and nice, cool, sleeping weather at night.
Yeah, 70 to 75 degree days and like 45 to 55 nights, like it's right in my wheelhouse, man.
Yeah, like yesterday and today, it's like 75 and 44. It's like Mother Nature hit that break.
Yes, and I love it. I'm here for it. Like, that is just primo sleeping weather. Like, when I finally passed out this morning, I tell you, man, like I was completely out. Like, normally I'll wake up a good half dozen times throughout the night. When I slept like a straight 8 hours and did not wake up for nothing.
Nice.
That never happens for me.
It's looking so good weather-wise that you hooked me up with just a TV you weren't using. I'm going to set that up on my patio on Saturday and watch the Lions.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. They're taking on the Steelers. It's preseason. I know it's preseason, people. I don't care. It's
football. But we have that whole backup QB controversy. Oh, my God. No one cares.
Is there controversy?
There is not, and it doesn't matter because whoever ends up being the backup QB is hopefully never going to start a game.
Yeah, knock on.
If they ever have to come into a game, we're screwed because neither one of them are good.
Right. And, I mean, we used all our, you know, second, third stringers, and we still beat the Chiefs by 1 point. And Mahomes and Kelsey were on the field, so take that for what it's worth.
Second year in a row. Gotta love that.
But yeah.
It's got to make you feel good.
Do they meet in regular season? I forgot.
No. Okay. No, they don't.
That's fine, because I don't want revenge coming back at us.
No, if we're going to see him again, it wouldn't be till a bowl of a super nature.
Ooh.
If you were to get that far, if they're to get that far,
quite honestly. I'm excited. Pretty soon we get to do the picks. I realize that college football, at least U of M, plays on the 31st.
Yeah, like there's like a handful of, like, this is basically week zero for college football. There's a handful of matchups that literal nobody cares about this weekend. The next weekend's where all the fun really starts.
Yeah.
And I, for one, am looking forward to it because I've been horribly, horrifically deprived of football in my life, and I cannot wait to fix this. Much to do today. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. It is Happy Hour, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Now, I've said a lot on this show over the years that, you know, there should probably be a minimum age at which you bring the kids out to a restaurant, especially something that's, like, considered to be fine dining in some capacity.
Yeah, you've never been a real happy person around kids.
No, I haven't. You're just now figuring this out?
No, I've been more than well aware. But when you take your kid to a restaurant, you can pretty much assume that they're not going to get schnockered.
You'd like to think that.
Salinas, California. A Hollister family is urging parents to be cautious after their 2-year-old daughter was mistakenly served alcohol at a restaurant, resulting in a trip to the emergency room. Family was at a large family dinner at a local restaurant, a Japanese restaurant, when their 2-year-old daughter was mistakenly served alcohol, resulting in a trip to the ER. They ordered apple juice, but, you know, daughter started showing signs of being drunk. They realized the cup actually was drinking had house-made cooking wine inside, you know, same color and everything.
Right.
You know. Probably honest mistake, and just don't store them right next to each other.
Yeah, probably shouldn't do that.
Served inside a normal juice cup with a lid. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. But the,
how can you tell when a 2-year-old is drunk is my question. I haven't seen it very many drunk 2-year-olds, so I can't really tell.
Listen, no, you, everybody shut up for a second. You who's kept saying you've got my nose, you don't have my nose. My nose is right here. If I hear that Wheels on the Bus song one more time, I'm going to puke. hang on a second. Somebody's got a diaper to clean up. That's right. Wraps their tricycle around a tree.
Yeesh.
He said she was swaying, she was falling over, she was leaning on walls, she couldn't hold her head up, she was slurring her words for 2 years. Like, she tried to say mama, she said a couple curse words.
Mother.
She thought everything was hilarious.
Well, yeah, because don't they are usually do that at 2?
2 year. Yeah, my kid's going to be 2 in December, and I'll drive him home, and he'll be in the back just jabbering to himself and then laughing. It's like he's telling himself jokes.
Yeah, sounds much like his dad.
Yeah, pretty much. I can make myself laugh all night long. Parents spent the night in the ER. They said a blood test revealed an alcohol level of 0.12.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The kid's like super drunk.
Super drunk, but there she goes. They spoke to the manager. The KSBW8 spoke to the manager of the restaurant, who said it was a mistake. Well, duh. It wasn't just like, you know,
I'm
what?
Sure they did this intentionally.
It's a boring Sunday night. Let's give that kid some booze and find out what happens. This would be good.
Let's liven this party up, shall we?
Yeah. So the police did confirm that there was a police report filed on August 17th for the incident. Take proper precautions in how you store things or label things properly so that this doesn't happen to anybody else, said the parents, and every food worker replied with, duh.
I don't understand how that's even a thing that gets mixed up. Like, shouldn't there be labels on such things?
I would think so.
I assume they're not just shipped in just nondescript, like, plastic bottles. I mean, maybe they are. I don't know. Or maybe it's one of those places that just makes their own apple juice in-house, but that really sounds like a waste of time and resources. Yes. For how many people actually drink this.
Homemade apple juice. Come for the microwave steak, stay for the foot-stomped apple juice.
Like, I just don't see how this is a valid use of your time and resources for apple juice for, like, that something that, like, maybe a handful of kids a year are going to actually drink.
Yeah, it's one of those things where they have juices available. Like, when we take Joey something, like, we took Joey to our neighborhood bar here, and we just brought his own sippy cup. So, his own stuff, and they were cool with it. But, yeah, I mean, now I'd kind of like to find this restaurant, the Yelp reviews, and see if my toddler got hammered.
He kept trying to fight everybody else in the car. It was really weird.
Oh, bedtime? I'll tell you when it's bedtime. I'll tell you when it's bedtime.
Tell you when I'm ready for bed.
Where's my sippy cup? Oh, yeah, come to find out, just a belligerent drunk.
Right? I mean, you find out that stuff young, and then, you know, just get them off the sauce after that, I guess.
Hi. My name's Tabitha. I'm 2 years old, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, Tabitha. It's been a couple of weeks since my last drink, and kind of craving the stuff right now. I'm not going to lie. I mean, learning shapes and colors, it can be pretty taxing on you.
Well, I suppose.
Just getting drunk watching Miss Rachel. Watching Elmo. This Elmo guy, I just really want to kick him in his... Kick him in his furry keister. This Elmo sucks. Mom, put on Beavis a Butthead or something.
Well, I guess the first step really is admitting that you have a problem, especially when you find this out before you take your first step.
Mm-hmm. She's only taken 12 steps in her life.
That's one way to figure it out, I suppose. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. You know, fatherhood is really a long and serious commitment, for at least for most people. Apparently, for this guy, is a commitment in a completely different way. Like, this guy committed to the bit. That's for sure.
Yeah, U.S. man has been sentenced to 81 months in jail for faking his own death by hacking government systems and officially marking himself as deceased. The U.S. Department of Justice. In the case, detailed the case of Jesse Kempf, 39 years old, who was sent down for computer fraud and aggravated identity theft. In January 2023, Kempf used the credentials of a physician to access Hawaii's death registry system and create a case that recorded his own death.
Wow, really?
The Department of Justice says Kempf then completed a state of Hawaii death certificate worksheet, assigned himself as a medical certifier for the case, and certified his death using the digital signature of the doctor. but he was very much alive and enjoying the fact that his death meant he didn't have to make back child support payments or catch up on those he already missed. Evidence presented in court included internet search histories recorded on a laptop looking up terms including remove California child support for deceased. Come on, man. Chrome's got an incognito thing just for that.
Right. Don't leave that out there where any FBI investigator can just find it.
Not satisfied with faking his own death.
Faking his own depth, too.
Depth. Yeah, he was way down there. Yeah. Depth well, stored up.
Well, they don't say how he died. Well, is that how he died, maybe? That he was just in the bottom? Like,
well, his last name is Kip. So as I'm pre-reading and all the words start, I had like a momentary lapse of dyslexia.
Fair.
Kemp stole other credentials and used them to access other states' death registries, private business networks, and governmental and corporate networks.
Jeez, this guy went just all out for this.
He made it his full-time job. If you would have had a job like that, you probably would have been able to pay your child support.
Right?
He then tried to sell access to these networks to potential buyers on the dark net. Hi. Are you tired of child support? Are you tired of having to take care of those kids that you birthed after a fun wild night after Applebee's?
I got a child support. You can too.
You know, it'd be one of those bad 3 a.m. commercials. I got rid of getting rid of my child support, and so should you.
I would pay to see someone actually do this infomercial. Yeah.
So can you. And then points at the camera. So can you. Point
at camera.
No, you don't read that part. Keep going. You're only paying $50 for this commercial spot. Just keep going.
If he had more money than that, well, he'd been able to pay the child support.
Yeah, he admitted to his acts. Once released, which will be in at least 5 years and 8 months, he'll face a bill over $195,000 to cover both his overdue child support payments and the cost of damage he inflicted on the various computers he accessed. The New York Times reports that Kempf has previously been convicted of possessing financial transaction devices that did not belong to him and also faces charges for using stolen credit cards. So the guy's just a POS, and yeah, the baby's mom is probably still like, I can change him. Or she's probably, no, I'm done with that guy. There's probably another woman going, oh, he won't do that to me.
Oh, no, he's changed. He's totally changed. He wouldn't do that now.
He told me he's a whole new man, and I just
till death do us part.
I just can't. Yeah, I just can't wait to marry him in 5 years and 8 months when he comes out. And I mean, just to show him that I'm serious, he asked for my bank account number and I gave it to him because, you know, I'm completely trustworthy. He's completely trustworthy.
That only works if you don't actually have any money in the bank account in the first place.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's some people that try to get out of child support payments, but this guy, wow. I mean, he scored into the Hall of Fame of somewhere.
I'm not sure a Hall of Fame of scumbags, perhaps, but
oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, how do you think that kid's got to feel, man? Like, your dad literally faked his death so he wouldn't have to associate with you in any way.
Yeah, right. No matter how old this kid is. I mean, even if the kid was like a month old, 5 years, where's dad? He's in jail. Why? Because he didn't want to pay for you. Oh, great.
Because he so didn't want to be involved with you that he literally faked his own death so he could get away from you.
And the cat's in the cradle. And Happy Father's Day, you deadbeat POS. Here's a cake with a file in it.
Oh, here's Pearl Jam with a live at your local alternative Solid State Radio. I've noticed now in all my years as a bartender that if there's one thing that riles people up at the bar, it's usually the punching bag. But if there's one thing after that seems to rile people up, it's almost always the jukebox.
Yeah.
Just last night I had some dude freaking out because we had the jukebox. I mean, loud enough, quite frankly, almost to the point where I'm having trouble hearing people. I'm screaming from the end of the bar, sipping on his Tito's and Red Bull to turn it up,
yeah.
Turn it all the way up. Like, if I can't hear customers, I make drinks, I don't make money. Yeah. And your song selection sucks. Actually, your song selection wasn't terrible, but at some point, it's the principle of the thing. Like, I'm like, you know, five people deep at the bar and like three tickets up in the kitchen, and I got people screaming to turn the jukebox up. Like, you have no idea how close you are to that jukebox remote getting inserted directly into your rectum.
Yeah. Give him some chili beans so you can fart and change the song.
But apparently,
sweet care, I get knocked down, I get up again before he cheats.
And people do get rather testy when it comes to the jukebox, music selections, volume, and otherwise. Yeah. And I've seen plenty of people over the years. Like I have a guy who comes in every so often where I work, and he his music taste is, shall we say, eclectic.
Okay.
Sometimes it's Van Halen and AC/DC. Sometimes it's that really soft rock sounded Joe Satriani song. Occasionally it's Miles Davis.
That's so okay.
For our bar, that's rather weird, and people will just start bitching at the guy immediately. Like, what did we tell you about this? I'm like, I feel like I'm far too not classy enough for this establishment. Like, I should be wearing a smoking jacket right now.
Kind of. You ever see Talladega Nights? Where Sasha Baron Cohen's character puts jazz on a redneck jukebox.
Yeah.
And it starts playing, and Richard starts losing it. And he's like, well, why do you have that jukebox? The bartender's like, for profiling. Because, I mean, this was before digital jukeboxes and
were a thing, yeah.
Yeah, but I think some people look at the jukebox as kind of like an extension of themselves. They want to show everybody what they like, and some people weaponize it. Some people are just like, yeah, you're going to listen to what I want to play, and that's it. Because you notice in every digital jukebox now, yeah, you can pay 2 credits to play your song, or if you want to kick in an extra credit, you can play a song right now.
Yeah, you get to skip to the front of the line.
A bidding war for songs. I know my brother got thrown out of his local watering hole for playing Sweet Caroline. I said, well, what's the problem with playing Sweet Caroline? This is a great song. I played it about 40 times. Well, why'd you do that? I was like, I like the song. Because it wasn't like he put it in for 40 times and then left. No, he'd play it, then he'd saunter up to the jukebox again and play it again. Finally, they unplugged it.
So there was one night, Wes and I were out at a local watering hole of some sort, and he'd a more divey watering hole, and he decided he was going to do that. The first song he played was something by Kid Rock, I guess.
Yeah.
And then he loaded up What's New Pussycat by Tom Jones 10 times in a row after that. The Kid Rock song was to give us enough time to escape before anyone figured out who did this.
Yeah, right. Because, I mean, now they got apps for that, where you can go ahead and
play without having to go actually physically to the jukebox,
or you can do it from the comfort of your own home. I have that app, and our local watering hole here in Columbiaville, I can play a song from my bedroom.
Yeah.
And there's one time I was like, if I had any credits on there, this is middle of last January, I was like, I was going to play Christmas tunes or something like that. That's too much power in the people's hands.
Right. I could do that right now at the bar I work at from here at Solid State Northern Command.
Right. And that's too much power to put in the hands of knuckleheads like us.
And people get rather upset, apparently, when you use that power, as evidenced by a story that you found over there.
Yeah, a guy in Providence, Rhode Island, he got hospitalized. Police responded to Atwells Avenue for a report of an assault shortly after 1 a.m. on Tuesday morning. The victim, a male in his 40s, told police he had been at Dead Beats Bar on Knight Street. I thought it'd be a nice place to just relax. Dead Beats? Who knew? When 3 men started a fight with him over a song he selected in the jukebox. According to the victim, the suspects, while they must be saying white males in their 30s, dragged him outside and began assaulting him. The victim told police he lost consciousness and he thought his jaw might be broken. Police said they observed a cut on the victim's chin that was still bleeding, severe swelling on the side of his face. The victim was taken to Rhode Island Hospital for his injuries. They never say what song he played.
That's unfortunate, because I would like to know.
Yeah. Look at this photograph. Get him!
Don't get me wrong. There are people I would love to do that to. Like the after the 10th time that the same Morgan Wallen song comes on our jukebox for the night.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely want to break a pool stick over someone's head.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's the people. I mean, when I was DJing bars, there's turn it up. Turn it all the way up. Come on, man. No, I'm not doing that. We're not doing that. But I want to hear it. Not everybody else does. But those people don't care. They want and we see this in every facet of our life. They want to inconvenience other people with their own personality.
Right. People don't get, like, if the music's, you know, loud enough, and I say this as a guy who's played in bands for, like, way too long of his life. Like, if the music's too loud for the people who need to take drink orders to be able to take drink orders,
yep.
or for you to be able to talk to the person sitting next to you, then maybe it's too goddamn loud.
Yep. And bands understand that it's a business. It's a business that sells alcohol. You should be promoting the alcohol from the stage, drink specials and everything else, but don't have the amps pointed right towards the bar. And if you do, don't crank it.
Right. And oh no, people do that all the time too.
Yep.
That's especially in our room where the bar is directly across, like facing the stage.
Well, there's still like 50 yards from the bar.
But well, I mean that it's the place about the length of a football field, give or take. Sure.
Yeah,
but
yeah. But I mean, point taken. I mean, those people, well, it's a big bar. You need to like really crank it. No, you don't have to crank it up.
Trust me, you don't. And that also goes for the jukebox.
Yeah, they don't understand that. You want people to hear you, but you don't want to chase them away.
Right. And also, you know what I found? The people who end up being the turn the jukebox up people, they're the people who can't hear because they're screaming over top of the music already.
Yeah.
And then what do they do the second you turn up? They start screaming louder.
Yep.
Like, it's a never-ending cycle of you're an effing idiot.
Yes. That's why you just say, they put a governor on the volume knob, this is as far as it will go. See? And just look like you're pushing the volume button.
Right? I wish I had that option. It would make my life so much easier, let me tell you.
Some of those people that they get drunk in those establishments, you could almost use the Jedi mind trick. Just wave your hand from there. It's as loud as it's going to go.
It's as loud as it's
going to go. You don't need any louder. Stop playing corporate country.
Please, for the love of God, F off with the pop country and make me play it at ear bleed levels. A public service announcement brought to you by Happy Hour. A double dose of local music this hour for you, Alex Shire. And right there is Gasoline Gypsies with one of their latest Broken Arrow off of their new record, Gravel Road, to your local alternative Solid State Radio. And if you want to see at least the frontman for that band live, he's going to be performing this Friday from, I believe, 6:30 to 9:30 on the streets of downtown Lapeer as part of Friday Night Bikes here in lovely downtown Lapeer. He'll be performing on the corner out across from Rogers Pharmacy there. I know I'm going to be stopping by to check that out. Going to be a good time all the way around. He puts on a really good solo show if you ever get a chance to see Caleb Malooly live, which, well, this Friday you'll get to if you're in and around the Lapeer area. I have to drag Adam out there to check out a few songs after he's done with his guest on Sessions on Friday.
Dragging will not be necessary.
I didn't think so, especially because the social district will be in full effect that night.
Ooh. I've never seen him live, so I want to see him.
Oh, you absolutely want to do this. Like, it's going to be good. He puts on a really good show. I mean, obviously, he does a few of his originals and a lot of covers that stuff that you would... Yeah, this totally makes sense that he would do this. And a couple things I think will throw you for a little bit of a loop.
Okay, so it's not going to be like, I'm going to expect to hear the new song Mud in the Water or anything. And he ends up playing, like, you know, Afternoon Delight or, you know...
You know, I could see that. Maybe that.
starts playing Sweet Caroline.
You know, I believe... I think he might have actually done that one of the times I saw him, come to think of it.
With his voice, he could actually pull it off.
You know, more people, you know, attempt that than really should attempt it, and most of them cannot pull that song off.
They want to for the crowd participation.
I know.
And it's so overdone.
It's such a weird vocal range that he has, too. Like, you can't... It's hard to hit that range and really nail it. It's just in a weird spot. I know it is for me. Like, I couldn't do it. Really have it sound good.
Real low register kind of thing.
Which is weird because, like, I can do low register fine, and Rage lives in the lower register, and it's just, like, it doesn't always sound like... It's hard to nail that particular area for some reason.
Right.
Don't know why. It's just a thing. But also, bands, I think at this point we can probably retire that one for a little bit.
Can we please? I mean, there's a few songs. They were a really good band that was on the West stage while I was doing sessions, but it was almost, I could guess what song they're going to play next. They played Cumbersome. They played Three Doors Down.
They did play that funky music.
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny because, and before anybody calls in, yes, my old band used to do all that stuff, but I mean, and a lot of bands did, but I mean, can you just look in your CD case, go through your MP3s, find a song, go through your 8-tracks, go find a song that nobody else does that people might remember.
Right.
You know, and
it's a difficult thing to do. The problem is you end up defaulting a lot back to a lot of these because, you know, these are the ones that get like the crowd reaction because everyone knows them and loves them and stuff. There's the other problem you kind of run into.
Yeah, but if you start playing some songs, like instead of playing Sweet Home Alabama, play Give Me Back My Bullets. People are like, man, I had a great time with that band. I mean, yeah, they were playing the bands I knew. I knew the songs, but it wasn't the ones. They veered off a little bit.
I don't think I've ever heard a band do that one.
It's very rare. It's very rare. And then that's the point. Instead of,
it's always either Sweet Home Alabama or Give Me Three Steps.
Or Freebird, if it's at the end of the night and they want to shut the guy up at the end of the bar.
Oh, yeah. Done that a time or two.
Yeah, Give Me Three Steps. Or Call Me the Breeze is another one. But, I mean, you get my point. Instead, you know. So, I don't know. But
There you go. Adam's had his rant for the day.
Oh, let me get off this soapbox. Hang on. It's a pretty tall soapbox. I'm going to need somebody to help me down. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay.
Here's REM at Solid State Radio. Ready to judge some people, Adam?
I'm feeling exceptionally judgy.
When are you ever not feeling judgy, to be
fair? All rise, the Honorable Judgmental presiding.
Well, then let's do a little bit of Am I the A-hole, shall we?
Okay.
Am I the A-hole for not sharing my parents' inheritance with the aunt and uncle who raised me?
Oh, I love how you just dramatic pause for me to say, yes, yes, you are. You're a jerk. Bye.
Yep, because I just love to have you fall. I love when you fall into my trap like this.
That's the old Adam Luthy trick.
Yes.
Right now, I'm going to say no, because how long has, first of all, if your parents have an inheritance that's a lot of money, why weren't they raising you?
Well, presumably because they died in some sort of like fiery accident or something.
And the parent, the aunt and uncle have taken up the mantle. If that's what it was, if you know they were inherited the kids because the parents died, then this responsibility was thrust upon them. I think they should get a cut.
Oh, he went back on that real quick. Interesting. Let's see if we manage to burn him once again.
Okay.
I was 5 years old when my parents passed away in a car accident. With no other close relatives willing or able to take me in, my aunt and uncle stepped up to raise me. I was incredibly grateful at the time, and for a long while, I thought they were the saviors everyone said they were. But as I grew up, the reality of my situation became clearer. My aunt and uncle had two kids of their own, both a few years older than me. They were given every opportunity, new clothes, extracurricular activities, family vacations. Meanwhile, I was the one doing most of the household chores. I cooked, cleaned, and took care of the yard. I wasn't outright mistreated, but there was a distinct difference in how I was treated compared to their kids.
Okay. Cinderella kind of story?
Kind of, yeah. When I got older, I started to realize the way they treated me wasn't normal. My cousins were encouraged to pursue their dreams, while I was told I should just focus on being useful around the house. I wasn't allowed to go out with friends often, and if I wanted anything, a new pair of shoes, school supplies, anything, I had to earn it by doing extra work around the house. They always told me I should be grateful because without them, I'd have nothing. I tried to make the best of it, and despite everything, I was managed to do well in school. I was determined to build a life for myself, and when I finally went to college on a scholarship, since they didn't offer any financial support, I started to gain some independence. I didn't cut ties with my aunt and uncle, but I kept my distance, visiting on holidays and calling occasionally out of obligation more than anything else. Recently, I found out my parents left behind a significant inheritance. It had been in a trust that I wasn't aware of, and when I turned 25, it was all released to me. The money was life-changing, and for the first time, I felt like I had real control over my future. When my aunt and uncle found out about the inheritance, they immediately started talking about how we were family and how much they'd done for me. They hinted, not so subtly, that I should give them a portion of the money as a thank you for raising me. They even suggested that it could help pay for my cousin's college tuition or contribute to some home improvements that they had been planning. This put me in a really tough spot. On one hand, I did live with them for years, and they did provide for me in a basic sense. On the other hand, I can't shake the feeling that they didn't treat me the way a child should be treated, and I don't think I owe them anything more than the gratitude I've already shown. I told them I wasn't planning to share the inheritance. I explained I needed to secure my own future, especially since they never invested in me the way they did with their own children.
Ooh, yeah.
They didn't take it well.
Of course not.
My aunt got really emotional, saying I was being ungrateful and selfish after all they did for me. My uncle was more direct, telling me that they'd sacrificed a lot to raise me, and the least I could do was give something back. Now my cousins have started to reach out, saying that I'm hurting the family for refusing to help, and that my aunt and uncle deserve something for all the years they took care of me. It's been weighing on me, and I can't help but wonder if I'm being too harsh or if I'm justified in keeping the inheritance for myself. Am I the a-hole?
No. It's your money. You do whatever you want with it. I would think, you know, if... Let's they never said a number. So let's just say $100,000.
Life-changing money.
Let's say $100,000. Let's say... Because, I mean, if it's something in there and that trust fund had been in there for 20 years, that's accrued some interest. So... Let's just say 100 G's. They did make sure that you didn't go to a foster home or be a ward of the state, but they did take advantage of you. You became Cinderella. The fact that, you know, you were, if we're to believe the letter at face value, that this person was doing all the housework while the other kids were in and out, the birth kids were in and out doing whatever they wanted. The writer had to fund their own college and basically kind of break out of that role. So the majority, the lion's share of this inheritance should, I'd say, if it's $100,000, cut them a check for $5,000, $10,000, and say, Avita Zane, done, out.
No, I'm not giving them a dime at that point. Like... Like, this literally sounds like some fairy tale nonsense here. Like, you're literally, like, we're brought in as, like, the redheaded stepkid who's just, like, basically forced to be, like, the slave for everybody else and, like...
That's a good point.
...gets treated, like, completely differently, like he's not part of the family. So, no, they don't owe you a goddamn thing.
Yeah, that could be a... You say, I owe you... I took care of the lawn. I did this. I did that. I was basically...
You made me earn my keep from the time I moved in. Yeah. I don't owe you... Dick. Yeah.
I don't owe you, Dick. XOXO, see you at Christmas. I'll be the one driving up in a Lexus.
As well you should. You earned that Lexus.
No, Alexis is my girlfriend.
Ah. Well, you earned that too.
Yeah. That's a good. I mean, the fact that. And again, as we take it at face value, if we talk to the aunt and uncles, like, we didn't have them go out. They'd mow the lawn like once a week, and we had chores for the other kids. But, you know, at face value, if this writer was doing all the work and taking care of everything, that said, thank you for making sure I don't go to an orphanage. If orphanages are still a thing. I
don't know if they are. Are they?
No, I don't think they are.
I couldn't tell you.
I don't see anybody like or little orphan nanny. It's a hard knock life. Now, usually it's the foster parents. It's a hard knock life. I got these kids screaming under. I didn't give birth to any of them. Can I drown them? No, can't drown them. Damn. I would think just to shut them up, throw them a couple thousand and say, thank you, but we're done. I have fulfilled my responsibility. But then you bring up the point where they kind of treated them like Harry Potter under the stairs.
Oh my God, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, well, at that point, what do you owe these people at all? Mm-hmm. Sure, they were getting some sort of, you know, help, assistance in some capacity, taking care of the, like, I can't imagine they'd leave the trust fund for the kid and not give the parents something, you know, leave them something to take care of their kid with.
Well, something tells me at 5 years old, or however young the parents were, they probably didn't have that figured out. It was probably their bank and the state put it together, and they know the next of kin was the kid. So the kid, doing his due diligence, found out hey, I've got all this money coming. Had the aunt and uncle found out about it, they would have taken that money.
They would have taken every dime of it.
Yep.
That, you know damn well it's exactly what would have happened.
Yep.
Yeah, no. You don't owe them anything. Screw them. That's hope that helped. Mm-hmm. Biffy Clyro, your local alternative Solid State Radio. Let's check in on the Tigers, shall we? They're supposed to play tonight. No idea who's starting or more than likely opening for Detroit. And I have to say, like, they're staying competitive of late, certainly. And even if it didn't go quite as well as anyone would have hoped, last night Spencer Torkelson ended up getting 4 hits on the evening, while Javi Baez just continues to get worse and worse.
Yikes.
0-for-4 in his first return to Chicago since he left the Cubbies. He's now down to a robust 182 batting average. How long can this be allowed to go on? My God.
Yeah.
Like, someone has to step in at some point. It probably isn't going to happen during the season, but it has to happen not long thereafter, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
You would think. I'm not seeing any official word on the starting lineup yet, but I like to think that we're not going to have to see too much more of old Javi Baez during this trip. One can only hope anyway, right?
I have a feeling like, you know, in about 5 years, we're going to be looking back at the Javi Baez. It was a dark time in Tigerville.
We're doing that now in real time.
Yeah. Well, you know, when they start having some success, it's like, I was just glad we were able to survive it. Or people walking around with Tiger World Series pennants and jerseys and everything else. Like, oh, yeah. You can't wear that. I was there. I was in the trenches. I was there during the Baez years.
The years that we really all try to forget and sadly have not managed to do so yet.
Yeah.
Ugh. I feel like there's absolutely no way that the Tigers aren't buying out that contract at the end of this at the end of the season. Like, if they don't, I feel like it just tells you that Chris Illich is not in any way, shape, or form committed to putting a contender out there.
No, he's not. I heard some people on a different show, I was cheating on us, talking about Chris Illich and the fact that, you know, it's different than when Mr. I was in charge and spending the money that he made, and he was a competitor and he wanted to have a winner. Chris Illich also has to go with the family. He has to go with the family and decide to make these decisions. Now, why the family wouldn't want a winner, I have no idea, because that seems to, you know, put meat in the seats.
Fair.
And make money. But I guess it sheds a little bit more light on Chris Illich. I mean, Chris Illich is not his dad. I mean, the Certainly apple not. Fell pretty far from that tree. But I guess it makes a little bit more sense as to why, I mean, if he's got a, you know, pass things off by siblings and other people, where Mr. Illich is like, oh no, we're going to go ahead and spend this draft pick on a Russian that we may never be able to use.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, at least in the case of the Wings, like, I feel like there is a path and also a salary cap. So, I mean, that does to an extent limit what you can do. You don't have those things with the Tigers. You don't have that with MLB.
Right.
We don't got to worry about going up to the salary cap. It doesn't hurt us. The money's not real.
Yeah.
And the money's not mine. So spend as much of it as possible. Exactly, you a-hole, yeah. Or we'll hate you forever, basically.
Exactly.
I'm sure that's probably totally not fair in any way, shape, or form. But do I care? No, not really. Not at all. It's happy hour. It's Solid State Radio.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It is happy hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Wednesday afternoon. Stick around, though, a full hour of local original. What is it you do at 6 o'clock, man? I don't know.
Chess moves. We're talking about bishops and rooks and knights and pawns and everything and all that cool stuff and how they all mingle together for complete dominance. There are a bunch of chess boards in downtown Lapeer, and me and Mr. Jim Alt have been trash talking each other for better part of a year, and I need to take him behind the woodshed and teach him how to play some chess.
Really?
Yeah, I'm gonna whoop that boy.
I for one look forward to seeing this when Jim inevitably kicks your ass at this game.
I go ahead and put as much money on him as you'd like. I would
destroy you, brother. You won't know what to do with those center 16 slots that I've taken over when I have my Queen's Gambit open. And
you would be the guy that would be.
I will show up like Macho Man Randy Savage playing chess.
The big, full the nerdiest Macho Man Randy Savage ever.
Full contact nerd. Chess. Yeah, and Wes, I'm gunning for you too. He and I have been talking about playing chess for a better part of 10 years. I'm coming for you, Wes.
I haven't played chess since probably...
You're confusing chess with checkers, probably.
No, I haven't played that since early high school either.
Well, you're going to be my first bracket. I'm going to whoop the hell out of you. Work my way up to gym.
To remember how the hell to actually play. It's been that long that I've literally forgotten most of the important rules.
You're like, king me. No, that's not how it works.
Shut up.
Which one? Sean doesn't know how to play chess, does he? No, he just yelled Yahtzee.
I'm pretty sure that's a euchre. What?
You're not supposed to be able to look at my pieces. What are you doing?
That's not how this works.
I will tell you, though, I finally got a chance to check out the boards. It's only been 2 years, no rush. Check out one of the chess boards they have in downtown Lapeer, and they are nice. They're really good. And the seats, they know chess players. That seat is back a little bit. So the typical chess player can sit down and enjoy.
I guess I'm not entirely sure what the typical chess. I would expect those things to be closer actually, to the thing because some scrawny ass nerd.
Yeah, I guess it'd be the D&D table that just need a little place, a little gut room.
No, yeah, definitely. A lot of the time you need that. Anyway, a full hour of local original music is up next on a little show we like to call Sessions. All being well, talk to you tomorrow at 3. See ya.